Well, guys, we're glad you're here. I'm glad you made the decision you did to come to the conference. And we just wanted to have a little guy time. There are probably some things that we need to talk about that the girls don't need to hear about. Okay? Yeah, there you go. And so this is going to be a time in which you can ask questions. We've got a world-famous panel up here. And to answer questions, if there are questions you have and there's some things that we'd like to say to you about relationships and this type of thing. And one of the things, guys, we know for sure standing here, some of you guys won't be around and you're as close to Jesus as you're ever going to be today. And you won't make it. There are a lot of you with what's going on in your life right now are going to keep you from ever being the man God wants you to be. And one of the areas that Satan so uses is going to be pornography. And some of you are already hooked on it. And I could stand here and tell you some sad stories. We had a fellow at the University of Oklahoma and really wanted to go overseas. And when he filled out his focus application, that's one of the things you have to deal with. If you've been messing around with that within the last year, and some of you thinking about applying for focus, if you have, you won't go. Because one of the things the mission board is telling us, that today they are having to check that out very, very thoroughly with the missionaries. Because if you think it's a problem here, you wait till you get to some of these countries where you're going. And so that's one of the things that you're going to have to really deal with. And I remember one young fella, University of Oklahoma, and he was applied and found out that he'd had a problem in that area. So he waited for another year, had tremendous, unbelievable accountability with that young man. Any minute he was not in class, he had somebody with him. And even did very, very well for quite a period of time. And in just a short time before it was time to apply again, well, he goes up to see a peep show. And the guy's life is an absolute mess today because he would not deal with it. And so that's one of the areas, fellas, that you're going to have to watch out for because of the internet and all of that is very, very available to you. And if you're struggling with that, you go to your leader and talk with him about it. You need help. Don't try to hide because if you do, it'll get you. And it can absolutely destroy your life, and it can certainly destroy your marriage. And so that's one of the things, fellas, that you're going to have to really be careful about. And that's why you need to make some hard decisions about what you're going to see and what you're not going to see. And so there's hope for you. I don't want to leave you if you're out there struggling with that, thinking that there's no hope for you, because there is. God can forgive anything, and you need to get some help and be very, very careful about that area because that can actually ruin your life. Okay? Now, some of the others of you may want to say something about that while we're at this point.
You know, I guess one thing I'd say is that one of the things that's helped me so much in this area is thinking about those that will follow me. My children that God has given me, those people in the ministry, that is so motivating to me. That my future, what I'm, you know, you only, we're all dying people, and you only live through that which you reproduce. God has built death into our whole system. You know what I mean? Some people say we're in the land of the living, moving towards the land of the dying, but we're in the land of the dying, moving towards the land of the living. And you'll reproduce. Don't you want to reproduce spiritually? And you want to reproduce physically? That's fun too, you know. You do both at the same time. And it's all great. But this reproduction thing, and I am so motivated by thinking about my personal example. And one of the reasons I really deal seriously with sin in my life is because I know that many people are looking at my life. And I have a chain of from my great grandfather to my grandfather to my father. I can see this chain of problems And I just thought, I'm going to stop that cycle in my life. That's going to stop by the grace of God. And it takes the grace of God. And you know what? I think I have done that by the grace of God. And it's God. It's God's grace that has allowed me to break that cycle. And as I look now at my sons, my children, I think there's this life-giving kind of positive example, and then that's going to pass on, and Lord willing, then from there on. So there's hope. But I think as you think about those that will follow, it's not about you. See, it's about you, but it's about much more than that. And Satan so wants to destroy your example in this area.
You know, just saying to Max just a minute ago, I wonder what in the world we would do if we were your age again. Oh, my goodness. Let me just give you a couple of suggestions that you don't want to hear. You need some discipline in your life. If you've got some Playboy magazines, you need to get rid of them. Yesterday. I'm serious. And watch the kind of movies that you go to see. I know that sounds like you're supposed to be above all that. You're not. You don't need that. When I think about dating, probably need to really be very careful there. Probably the best thing you could do in regard to dating is not do it. You know, all you're doing is setting yourself up to fail. Now, this period of your life is supposed to be fun, supposed to be fruitful. It's the most energetic time of your life. Let me tell you that the time you want to sit in front of the TV, why don't you turn the TV off and spend some time with the Lord? Let me tell you, I just have been through a terrible illness, and during that 8 months of difficulty, I spent an awful lot of time with God and His Word. Gosh, I hope you don't have to get what I got to do that. Be wise. Use your time well. Don't be stupid. You make some mistakes in regard to getting some gal pregnant, it's going to ruin your life. You'll never get over it. It's not worth it. You get mixed up with going to see peep shows, that will be a stigma that will be very difficult for you to break. If you're even thinking about it, you ought to put a big no on your mirror just to remind you. The answer is no. Don't do it. Okay. I've preached to you enough. I tell you guys, I say this to you out of a real concern, a real heart for you. Because when I look at you, you're not the hope for tomorrow, you're the hope for today. You guys who love Jesus and who want to make a difference in the world, don't let the evil one deceive you. And he will do all that he can to deceive you.
When several years ago, one of our students came to me. He was in graphic design, and he really had to have a computer for his work, but he was really into the internet. So he said, I want to give you my computer. And it was one of the top of the line. It was a $3,000 computer that he used in graphic design. And to give me that computer, he would have to go over to the Kansas State computer lab and would work it with a pool of computers. But he was so serious about working through pornography on the internet that he gave me his computer, and I said, "Gosh, you better check with your parents." And his dad didn't want him to give it away, but it was so serious. He was so serious about working through pornography that I got a brand new computer and printer and everything else. But you know, that was just one step. This young man, we spent a lot of time with to work through his life. And you know, if you're caught up in pornography, there may be more to it than just choosing not to go to where you can get the internet or in your room. There may be some other things that you really need to be honest with someone about, an older staff person or a mature friend to talk through your life. And like Bobby said, you know, look back in past generations. And sometimes that plays into our life. And, you know, I don't want to overstate that necessarily, because sometimes we just need to say no. But, I would just agree with what's been said. Don't lose it. Wait another day. I mean, go to someone today if you're struggling with that. And that's almost half the battle, to be honest with someone, and get a brother that cares for you and will pray for you, and you'll be in the battle together. And I remember when I went to Vietnam in 71, when I got there, three times a week they would open up the gate and these beautiful Asian prostitutes would come in, and for $2, you could have one for 2 hours. And they were great looking Asian women. Of course, most of them had syphilis, I'd been away from my wife for months, and you know, I prayed, "God, keep me pure for her," because when I went back after a year, I wanted to be able to look her in the eye and say, "You know, Sandy, I saved myself for you." Now, some of you have failed in this area, but from today on, you can have victory. And so, if God does give you a wife someday, you can look her in the eye and say, "You know, since that conference in Oklahoma City, I saved myself for you. And I fought that good fight," and you'll never regret that.
Well, every year I make two New Year's resolutions. And they are to be physically fit and to be morally pure. And I do physically fit because one of my goals is I want to die healthy. And it probably won't happen, but that's one of my goals. But the other thing is, I don't take for granted moral purity. I have had lots of friends in ministry that this has been their downfall and been a struggle that they've gone through. I have students who I never divulge names or anything who've come in and talked to me about this as a problem. And I think that one of the problems is taking it for granted sometimes. I'm a guy of all that. I just won't happen to me. It just couldn't happen. Well, the truth is, when you become in tune with God, when you become a believer, you become more alive. You become more alive to life and creation and everything that He made. You look at a sunset or a tree and you see things that other people don't see. You become more alive to that. Well, I really believe that believers are more alive sexually than any other person. So don't take for granted that you're just going to be morally pure. Make it a goal. And what they have said about accountability, you know, that's very scriptural. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together. Well, that meeting together is a church. That meeting together is to be a small group, encouraging each other to love and good works, okay? I know you're going to date, and so I'm not against dating. Alan Stickney. Yeah, I was him. He said that. The truth is, in this society, unless it changes, and it could, you're going to probably meet your spouse by dating. And what I really want to encourage in my fellowship is group dating. to have two or three guys go out with two or three girls, and it be just a time, and that we take the edge off of dating and make it a social encounter and keep it healthy and with accountability. And then there will be that person. God will lay that book. Man, this is the one that I believe this is God's choice for me. You know, how are you going to find out? You've got to spend time with that person, find out something about her. I just think that accountability is a big thing. If you have a problem with pornography in any form, I go to someone that you trust. And a believer that you trust. And you know will not tell this to any other person. And you know will be that person that will hold you accountable. Go to that person and talk to them. And tell them your problem. And pray together. And get back together often. God wants us to be victorious believers. And you know, the world looks at things short term. And God looks at life, He sees it all. He wants you to be fulfilled and have the abundant life, not just when you're 20, when you're 30, and 40, and 50, and 60, and 70. God wants the best for you. I tell students that God wants you to have the greatest sex life of anyone in this world. Because He created it. And He wants the best for you. And all the rules and the regulations that He put out in His Word is so that you might have the best. That's what God wants for you.
Couple of things. First off, if you're from OU and you have a problem, I'd be glad to take your computer. And if you're from somewhere else, you can ship it to me. One of the things is this, is that the guy that we hold each other accountable on this issue, is one of the things we hold each other accountable on is, are we doing the right things? Because if we're walking with God, if we're keeping our head in the game that way, then a lot of the temptation and that other stuff is just sort of fizzling away. One of the things, too, is this, is that I realize, too, is that when I'm alone and I think I can get away with that kind of stuff, where's the fear of God? Because I'm not alone. And really, I'm accountable to Him. And I think we have lost a lot of that fear of God. You know, we do reap what we sow. And like Charles was saying, God wants you to have the greatest sex life in the world. And I tell guys this. I say, you know what? If you want to mess up your bedroom when you get married, then you fool around right now. So, I mean, keep yourself pure, and it'll bless you. You will pay, that investment will pay great rewards down the road. Another thing is this, is that I think there's sometimes we believe that, I can get away with a little bit there. It's not really a problem. Well, the guy that Max was talking about at the beginning, that guy has serious, serious problems. A few years ago, there was a guy that he struggled, and then he'd get over it. And then he struggled, and he'd get over it. And then he started acting it out. And eventually, it killed him. He committed suicide. That is Satan. I mean, that is Satan. And the guys that have struggles with it, let me tell you, are the guys who say, it won't happen to me. So don't buy that lie. And then there's another lie. Is that, I got all these hormones going through me. When I get married, then I'll be okay. You can ask every one of these guys. Let's see. Yeah, all of them are married. And, some of these guys are a little older than me. And it hadn't gone away, and I'm almost 50. I remember a prophet, K-State, he was 65 years old, and the guy asked him, when did you stop having lust problems? And he goes, I'll tell you when that happened. I mean, he's a godly, godly man. So, you know, watch out for the enemy's out there, and he just tries to fool you and make you believe things that aren't really reality, and he'll just, and they grab you, and they won't let go.
I'm standing next to some tall cotton, but in my limited experience... I mean that is, these are oaks of righteousness behind me. The whole purpose of what we want to do, some of you guys that have been at this conference before, or maybe from our ministry at home, we do this on a regular basis. And the purpose is we want to just broach the topic. We've got to be able, as men, to talk about difficult issues. Okay? And we want to throw off some taboos. Pornography, masturbation, sexual confusion. I know that there are guys right here, right now, you're really struggling with your sexual identity. We're being bombarded with images. Every single one of us are fighting this fight. Lust. I think, what Bob and Dick, Charles, were kind of alluding to, there's, Bobby, there are these deeper issues at play. Many of us growing up in abusive homes, neglect, we're importing these things into our sexuality as to what it even means to be a man. And I'm going to turn back over to Max, but I just want you guys to feel like this is a safe place. And, if anything good can come out of this, that we can proclaim Christ and bring glory to His name and just bring this out from underneath the covers. And as men, in a safe, secure way, in a way without acting like we're in fourth grade or in junior high, be able to talk about things that really hurt or things we don't understand. We want you guys to ask some questions. And don't feel embarrassed. And, we've talked about some of the things that are really frightening. But we also want to talk about, what does it mean to be a man? To be a tough, godly, sensitive, caring man. And my church in Norman is doing a really neat program where they're working with guys and really showing biblically what does it mean to be a man. We need to talk about that too. So if you have some specific struggles or questions you have, or you know of a friend in Niagara Falls that has these issues in their life, then ask them. But if there's some things just about, honoring women, or being a man of integrity, or what biblical manhood looks like, then ask those questions too.
When people have problems, all of us have problems. If you're alive, you got problems. It's just a matter of which set do you have. And so if you have difficulties, do not hesitate to share those with someone. Now let me give you a couple of verses. Guys, if you got a pen, write these down. And I would highly recommend that you memorize these. Now you can have accountability, and it's great to have accountability with people, but what was said earlier about the fear of the Lord, that's where real accountability comes in. Psalms 139:12. Even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. One of the things you need to have in your mind is the ever-seeing eye of God. That's Psalms 139:12. Even the darkness is not dark to thee. John says, in John 3, he talks about men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And a lot of the crime that takes place after dark, where they think no one can see. And it's interesting. I travel sometime going through the airport. I'll look over here to shop, and here's some guys over in the corner where the Playboy magazines are. They wouldn't buy that and take it home, but they'll sneak a view. I had the privilege one time, and I wouldn't necessarily ever recommend this, but I traveled for 5 weeks in the Orient by myself. I spent 4 weeks in Europe by myself. And I remember going into a room in Hong Kong one night and going over and looking at a little book that's there on the table. And I thought, I wonder what that is. And I opened it, and there are just pictures of girls They weren't unclad. They were just beautiful women. And here's a phone number, and you call, and they come up to your room. Well, when I saw what that was, I just closed and went over and got down on my knees because I knew that I was susceptible. And gang, memorize a few verses about God and the ever-seeing eye of God. And all through that trip, as I was exposed to things, the thing that God so used, I had a sense that God saw everything I did and that God was with me. Hebrews 4:13 says, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So God sees everything. That's Hebrews 4:13. Memorize some verses and things that the Holy Spirit can bring to your mind when you need them. Now, Kelson mentioned a situation at our church. If any of you ever have the opportunity to get in on a thing that's called men's fraternity or challenge of Christian manhood, if that's ever offered in your church, and you can get that through Lifeway. It's a series. A fellow worked 17 years in Little Rock, Arkansas to put that together. It's the best thing on Christian manhood and being a man and understanding what it is and to be a man and live in victory. It's the best thing I've ever seen. So if you ever have a chance to get in on it, you want to be sure and do it. Okay, do we have other... Maybe there's some questions. I think we had a question or two, Bob.
How long is an appropriate engagement and how long should you date before getting engaged? And, you know, that's an open-ended question because some of you probably shouldn't date at all. You should just lay that down before the Lord and allow God to bring in the right person and, you know, you get to know them maybe in group situations. And that's how most of the world does it, by the way. Dating is kind of a Western custom. In a lot of places in the world, they don't even date. But my wife and I dated about a year before we got engaged. And we had very clear standards. We wanted to save a lot of things for our honeymoon night. And a lot of it depends on your maturity level, on the girl's maturity level, how much dating you can handle. But we began to date and we talked about the kind of kissing that's appropriate before we get married. We didn't do very much kissing, frankly. We just wanted to save some things till marriage. And I hope you guys will too. You know, there's more that you should save for marriage than just intercourse. And unfortunately, a lot of you guys, when you begin to date, you've done everything you can possibly righteously do by your second or third date. And there's no growing. There's no newness to your relationship, not only in conversation, but in sharing affection. And that's really sad. And that can make for an incredibly long engagement. So, you know, I would encourage, I remember when I first started getting interested in Sandy, I remember actually talking to Max about it and saying, what do you think about her? You've seen her around the BSU. And I got some feedback from some people I trusted. And, you know, a lot of you guys have grown up where you don't talk about that. You just see a gal and you go for it. And I would encourage you, just like you want to share other parts of your life with some of your brothers, to ask their advice. If you don't have any mature ones, you pray that God would give you a mature and godly friend that can help you with that. How long is engagement is appropriate? Again, that really depends. Some of you that are more mature, you might not need as long as engagement because you know where you're headed in life. You know your spouse knows, or future spouse will know where she's headed. So there doesn't need to be a whole lot of figuring that out. But if there's any questions at all, don't go forward with a relationship. I have a daughter that's 31. She's attractive. God just hasn't let a gal or a guy into her life. She told me the other day that she's realized that she would rather not be married than to be married to the wrong guy. And, you know, I think that's a great thought for every person. There's nothing I can imagine worse this side of heaven than to wake up every morning with someone that you knew you really shouldn't have married. You know, what a tragedy that would be. And so, boy, the dating is, take it seriously. And just like everything else in life, lay it down before the Lord and trust Him.
sir.
Bob's right. It's not dating isn't the way it's done every place. I had a student from Korea come into my office, and he showed me two pictures, two beautiful young ladies. And he said, Charles, he was really excited. He said, one of these will be my wife. And I said, well, that's great, Kim, but how will you decide? And he said, my mother will decide. And being kind of westernized at the time, I said, well, wouldn't you like to have a say in that yourself? He said, my mother loves me very much. She'll choose the very best one. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's done in a lot of places. Unfortunately, we're influencing them a little bit more than they're influencing us. And I really don't think that's going to come to the United States for all people quickly or soon. And so dating is going to be a way that you find your mate. If I could make dates, the rules for dating, I would say let's do a lot of group dating. And then when you really feel like this is God's person, then like zero in. And when you're certain that this is God's person for you, this goes against a lot of things. But I really believe that when you know that this is God's person for you, that as soon as you can get married, the better off you are. Now, a reasonable engagement to give family and friends used to the idea, whatever you think. But as soon as you know this God's person, I don't recommend long engagements. Suzanne and I, when we were engaged, we decided we would have a 6-year engagement. She was going to go to medical school, and I was going to finish seminary. But you know, that was so unrealistic. That wasn't going to happen. And I think to be realistic, when you know this is God's person for you, set a reasonable time and then get married. And I really believe that that's best for most people. I don't think you can make rules that are just like, this is for every person. But generally, I think it's a good idea.
Let me make one comment. Someone made the comment that some of you shouldn't be dating at all. And you know, until you are established in your walk with God, I think that's true. I know in my situation, I felt like the thing that God was speaking to me about was to get down to business for the Lord, to get my walk with God established. And for some of you, maybe for a period of time, you shouldn't be dating. You ought to be concentrating on becoming a man of God. You know, God, I often say it this way, God hates to take a 10-horsepower girl spiritually and hook her up to a 2-horsepower guy spiritually. And if I remember a godly man one time at one of our retreats, and someone asked him the question, how can you make sure you marry the right girl? And he just started laughing. He said, that's the easiest question I've ever been asked in my whole life. And he just laughed, and he said, that's the easiest question. I can't believe you'd ask such an easy question. How do you make sure you marry the right person? He said, you become the right person. And that's so true. You become a man of God and not just a kid. And someday, you're going to find a girl, a godly girl, to be very attractive to you, and that will be true. You will be to her. And I mean, you can look at me and see I wasn't any great catch. And I guess all of us at one point or other have a problem with our self-image. And you know, Satan used to come to me, and I happened to be at a men's school at the time, and there weren't any girls around. And I remember one day we were going to class, and a girl drove through Texas A&M at the time and driving across the campus, and the guy said, there goes a girl, just like he'd seen up here. And I remember one night being at the Baptist Student Union as a freshman, and our director's wife spoke, and I never will forget her message because I went back and wrote it down. And she had 3 points, your God, your goal, and your gal. She talked about her relationship to God, her goal in life, and then about a gal. And I walked up to her afterward. I said, you know, Ellen, I'm 500 miles from home. I don't have money. I don't have a car. I'm on a campus where there are lost people all around, and I believe right now I need to be concentrating on my walk with God and not worried about finding the right one. And I don't believe, because I don't have money and I don't have a car, I can't be dating right now, and I'm on a campus where there are no girls, I don't believe God's limited in a girl and providing me a wife in due time. And she said, Max, I agree with you, but you'll just have to prove it in your own life. And I remember walking back to the dorm and praying, God, I will. By your grace, I will prove it. I am going to trust you for a wife. Now, I had a buddy. We used to go to the BSU. And every week on Friday, as soon as class was out, he'd run in, throw his books on his desk, grab his clothes, grab his car, and he headed to Houston or Baylor or Waco or places to date. And every Monday night, we would go out and witness, a group of us. And so we had a little short meeting we called Vespers every night for about 25 minutes. And so every Monday night after that, a group of us would go witness. And I can remember a number of times asking him to go. And he said, oh, I'd really like to go, but I got to study. And that's what he did for 4 years. And the last week we were in school, we were sitting over at the BSU one night, and I said to him, hey, do you have any prospects for marriage? He said, not a one. And I thought, I don't either. But for 4 years, we'd witnessed, we'd grown, we'd led guys to the Lord. And this guy just chased women as fast as he could. You know, that's not the way you get your wife. The way you'll get your wife is you pray, you walk with God, you ask God for her, and in due time, God will bring her into your life. And He'll bring you together. And I agree, you don't need a long engagement. We had decided, God wanted us, when we got engaged, it wasn't, well, if it doesn't work out, we'll just break off the engagement. We decided we would not get engaged till we knew we were going to get married. So we got married, engaged in December and got married in April. I didn't see any need to wait. Man, I'd found what I was looking for. I couldn't believe it. So I just want to challenge you in those areas. And guys, I can say this, and I know these guys here. I know every one of them. They could go home, lock their door, and never get out of their house and have a greater ministry by far than most people ever would because of their wives. And you want a wife that's with you. And so you wait, you trust God. Now, we happen to be in America where you have the privilege of dating. I'm kind of glad I got to select the one instead of my mom. I mean, really. But now the danger is, your mom's got a maturity you don't have. We live in a country where we have the privilege of selecting our own wife, but that means you better have some maturity and you better keep it out of the flesh. And here may be a girl you have an interest in and you've had an opportunity to observe her and you think, you know, I think this is the kind of person I'd like to be married to. You begin to date her, keep your cotton picking hands off of her. You learn to talk with her, learn to communicate, learn to have a ministry. Keep it out of the flesh and it can last for a long time. I have a son. Met a girl when they were freshmen in the BSU. They were involved in ministry together. I think they went to the BSU banquet that year. And he had an interest in her and they dated a little bit along. He didn't kiss her for 5 years. Well, they're married and got 4 kids today. Now, guys, let me tell you, it can last for a long time if you'll keep it out of the flesh. And due to their education and thing, most of you are in no condition to get married, so don't start the fire. And so, give it some time. Maybe here's a girl you're interested in. You give it some time, pray. Don't let it get in the flesh. And wait and see if this is what God has for you. Okay? Now, do you have any questions? Maybe there's some other things, and don't be embarrassed. If you have a question, you might say, I know this guy's got this problem, and we'll assume you don't have it, okay?
I was wondering about Jim Peterson was talking about the transitional period of the 25 to 40. How important is it in order to get like just established in what you're doing, your job, your life, passage, ministry, and that, before you, I mean, how hard is that in linking up with somebody else and making sure that people can go?
That's a very good question. Y'all all hear that? The transition period, how important is it for you to get established in your work and this type of thing before you get married? You know, some of you will need to do that. That's why if you're a 5-year engineering student or you're just a pre-med, I don't think I'd be asking a girl for a date tomorrow or getting that involved with someone. Now, it's good for you. Guys, and I want to say this to you. I think when you ask a girl to marry, you ought to plan on making the living and not her. I talked to a guy one day and he said, well, I just always assume she'd make half the living. Well, when you do that, you're asking her to do at least, and studies have shown that a woman is going to do at least 80% of the housework and that basic type thing because that's her very nature and that's the way God's made her. You're asking her to do 80% of her, of your job and all of hers. And guys, that's not right. You need to make the living. And probably for some of you, you need to get established. And it wouldn't hurt you at all to get out of debt and some things before you take on a wife. And some of you ought to get out and get a job. Now, God will not lead everyone that way, and I am aware of that. But fellas, that means you need to take responsibility. You need to be able to make a living. And when you marry her, you need to be able to take care of her. Now, I don't know if that thoroughly answers your question. But anybody else want to stab at it?
I'd say a great verse is Psalm 2:15. It's the little foxes destroy the vineyard. And you have a great opportunity while you're in college, immediately after college, to work, to start putting away some money, pay off debt, and to really shoot those stupid foxes in the head, okay? And what I mean by that is, listen, a godly woman doesn't want to marry a slob. And I've been in some of you guys' rooms, and you're slobs, okay? And it's not just us obsessive-compulsive people, you know, that we're weird. I'm telling you, your wife wants to not have to pick up after you 24/7. And just things like that, you take for granted. You think it's funny that when you walk in your room, it always stinks. You think that's cool? I'm telling you, the kind of women that you've got your eyes on and your heart is on, you know, these women are pursuing the Lord. They don't want to spend their life with a guy like that. They really don't. And so, really being attentive to some of those little things in your life, the way you spend your money, your speech, being crude, it breaks my heart when I see guys around our ministry, you know, talk about body functions and the bathroom around girls as if they're just one of the guys in the locker room. Guys, that's not right. These are your sisters in Christ. You need to treat them with respect and honor. So as much as we talk about the pornography and these big themes of holiness, understand that the Lord God wants you to be holy as He is holy. And you look at Ephesians 4:29 and Ephesians 5:4, and a lot of the other verses in the Word of God really flesh out those little areas of your life and bring them under the excellence and the Lordship of Christ. That will be a tremendous blessing if your wife will enjoy it.
Say so?
Yeah. I did a unscientific, very limited survey upstairs about what women think of guys in general. And every one of the girls said, now I want you to know, this is not all guys, but if you said just guys in general, and what they think of us is that we're irresponsible, disorganized, and unfocused. Now that's an indictment against guys. And it seems like maybe the answer to the question is, you know, when are we ready to take our lives to someone else that we can work on those areas? Actually, what they want in a guy is they want someone who's responsible, organized, and focused. For the most part, I think, you know, just, you know, they're looking for that guy. The girls are looking for that guy that doesn't fit that generalization, that mold.
they're looking for that, and they think they're going to find him. And so you got to really be working on your life, I think, to be that person. Guys, I think that a lot of times girls don't, they're not really respecting men. And yet, they are looking for someone that they can respect. And so we need to work on our lives to be that person that is worthy of respect.
I might add to that just some of the gals I've talked to lately, especially, they want a man they can follow. They want a man they can follow. So a guy who's going somewhere, who they respect and look up to. And that's getting harder and harder, I think, in our society. Back to the pornography thing. I think the biggest problem, well, I don't know if it's the biggest, but it tends to bring out passivity in men. And we live in a pretty passive society. You know, you kind of watch a football game, you know. And there's nothing wrong with football. But if that's kind of like the pattern of your life, it's kind of to just watch TV, that's just passivity. And it takes a lot of work and effort to go against that flow. So are you a man? You feel like you're growing. Do you desire to be a man that a godly woman can follow? She can join what you're doing and where you're going. She knows you're going to be a guy who's going to want to be involved with her, live life with her, not apart from her, not giving yourself to a career, you know, not giving yourself to the golf course, to your buddies on the golf course, who's going to do life. I'll never forget the time Max Barnett said, you go by softball heaven on Sunny Lane Road, you know, and he just go out there, he says, pass by it at 10 o'clock at night, and there's the guys out there playing softball, and maybe his wife's there and chasing the little kids around while he plays softball with the guys. He said, you know, a guy ought to just give that up. And I just owned that. I thought, that's right. Bob Brandon, working for Bob Brandon, he said, let's work all night. We can go home and spend more time with our wives. We'll spend more time with our wives. And I said, yeah, I want to go spend time with my wife. Do things with my wife. That's what. But yeah, that's right. And so this thing, and I just love that idea that I'm going to be there and can take care and lead. And then to have the kids as they grow older kind of join in that. And it gives such life. But you have to have some ambition, kind of. And that's the thing. See, pornography, it's not about that. It's about all those other things that are so much more important. And you just have to leave that behind because there are these greater things that you're giving your life to. And there's joy. Real joy is found in that. You won't like yourself. You know, it's just no fun to just not be a man. It's just not fun to not be a man. But you get that, you start heading this direction, you have a vision and a purpose, and you have those that are going with you. And that's really satisfying.
The girl I'm married to hadn't had the privileges I'd had in some ways of being around serious discipleship. And so when I saw her and observed her, I decided, I'm going to wait and see how she responds. On our first date, I wrote down some verses on a napkin for her to memorize. It's true.
She thinks you're a leader, right?
And we began to talk about discipling, and I wanted to wait and see, and I determined if I don't see in her a real desire to walk with God, I'm going to walk away from this relationship. And over time, I saw that. I saw a heart of somebody who really wanted to walk with God. And guys, one of the greatest joys in the world is to be married with someone who is really with you in heart. And if you will walk with God, and you pray, and you get down to business, in due time, God will bring the right person into your life. I mean, God loves to do that. If I were to ask you, if you really pray, do you think God would want to lead you to someone to witness to? And you say, well, yeah, I believe God would do that. Well, let me tell you, God is far more interested in leading you to the right person to marry than just someone to witness to. Because if you marry the right person together, your life, there will be many, many, many people come to know the Lord and be ministered to. So I just want to challenge you to do that. Now, how's our time? I believe it's time to quit. Okay, let me end with a little humor and then we'll pray, okay? This Aggie went home one weekend. And he brought back a goat. And so his roommate said, well, what are we going to do with this goat? And he said, well, we're going to keep him in the room. He said, well, what about the smell? And he said, he'll just have to get used to it. Okay, let's pray together. That's a room like old Kels was talking about, okay? Father, we are so grateful that you've made us men, that we have the privilege on this life of someday standing before you and spending all eternity with you. And you've given us a brief time on this earth. Lord, you've made us sexual creatures. And you said of Adam, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. And Father, we pray for the girls today that someday will be married to the men in this room. I pray that you'll be working in their lives, helping them to love you with all their heart, helping them to grow. God, get them the help they need. And I pray for these guys that they will become men who focus on walking with you, that they're going to walk with you either with a girl or without a girl, but they're going to walk with you. And in due time, Father, we pray that you'll bring them together, that they'll bring far more honor and glory to you married than they ever would if they'd have gone their separate ways, that you might bless them with children, they might raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that this chain Bobby was talking about might be through this group of men until you return, Lord, that there might be people that will walk with you until you return to this earth as a result of these guys. And not only those that are our own physical children, but you would give us spiritual children, Lord. People we can win to the Lord, build them up. Guys that are out there in sin that will never know the joy that we know unless someone shares the Lord with them. So God, thank you. Thank you for Jim Peterson. Thank you for all that we have. And as we go to have hear Jim, I pray that you would speak to us. And then as we have whatever we do tonight, and Lord, we're thankful. If it's watch the ball game, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all to your glory. And that you'd give us good times of fellowship, even some times to pray together and share together. And Lord, just thank you for all that you've done. Because we prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, let me encourage you to do one thing. There'll be a group meeting tomorrow afternoon to begin the plans. For 2 years from now, this conference, the plan is to take place every other year, January 2 through 5, the exact same date at the same place. And so you be praying for it, be planning to come back, and encourage others to do so. Thank you.